Death Note USA has a director. The Wrath of the Toilet Goddess. And the first ever slow music week? I know, right? All that and first grade advice for long distance relationships in this week's Friday Ace. Welcome to this week's episode of Friday Ace, and as usual, I'm your navigator, Mike Dent. How have you been? Hopefully your world isn't as cold as mine right now, because Wisconsin winter sucks the big one. Anyway, not much to say for this introduction here. Right now it's a time of transition, the new semester is about to begin. As I said last episode, this means that future episodes of Friday Ace, at least until the summer, will be coming out at around 5, 6 o'clock Central Time, directly on Friday, as opposed to getting them all up on Thursday by midnight. But regardless of time slot, I aim to deliver some fantastic content in podcast form to your eardrums. To your eardrums. And by God, I think I've succeeded this week. At least I think so, because this episode was a layer of hell. Anyway, here we go. So, even after several incidents involving kids being suspended for owning their own Death Notes, Warner Brothers remains undeterred in their quest to make a US Death Note movie. Now, I'm not really a Death Note fan, but my interest for this whole endeavor has been piqued this week upon the revelation of the director for the project, who is actually none other than the director of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Shane Black. Now, before Death Note fans out there start to get panicky, let me reassure you of a couple of things. Shane Black is the guy who practically made Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr. household names with Lethal Weapon and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, respectively. This is the guy who actually wrote the script for Monster Squad, which is one of the best films that come out of the 1980s. This is a guy who came out and said that Death Note is one of his favorite manga series, and that he's going to do everything in his power to remain as loyal to the source material as possible without making this a standard American thriller. I know that last bit's kind of sketchy, but with his accomplishments, I really can't find any fault with him or find any need to worry. And especially the irony of the whole thing is this guy's fascination with the letter L. But that, I'm talking about how a lot of the films he's written and have gone on to become box office heavy hitters either start with or feature the letter L somewhere. For instance, going down the list here, Last Action Hero, Lethal Weapon, The Long Kiss Goodnight, The Last Boy Scout, all of these movies. And this guy is now working on Death Note, where one of the antagonists is only known by the letter L. You get why I want to see this now? New images came out this week for a PSP game based on Star Driver Radiant Octo. Do you guys remember when I was all pumped for this series coming out last year? Yeah, I take all of that back. Al Kahn, the chairman and CEO of 4Kids Entertainment, is stepping down. According to ANN, Al Kahn retired and... retired and resigned this Tuesday with the company already searching for a new CEO. God damn it, no. No? 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 Cancel? No! No, ixnay! Okay. I know people want to rejoice because they feel that Khan was the source of the was the source of the company's controversial practices. And I don't blame people for thinking that way in the wake of famous quotes he made like Japan is over, or manga is dying, and there's no market for uncut anime. But I'll leave you with this thought. Just because he's leaving, it doesn't exactly guarantee that the editing practices will change, does it? We are the champions, my friends. Yeah, ignorance is bliss, isn't it? It came out a while back via Twitter that Discotech was aiming to remaster and re-release Project Echo on DVD. On Thursday, they upped the ante by not only dishing out the release date for Project Aiko, listed for May 17th, but gave reassurance that both Galaxy Express 3-9 movies, which were promised to be released a while back, are looking to come out around June. All I can say, farewell, my wallet. And Gonzo revealed their next great anime, the one that people are thinking will put them back on the map. Yonpire, a show about vampire kittens. Hey, Gonzo? You guys remember that whole Super Street Fighter 4 anime that was supposed to come out? The one that you promised would be released with the game back in April? Yeah, forget Vlad's Sweet Home here for a second. When the hell is that coming out? Sorry, I had to get that out of my system there. But to check out the official site for Yonpire along with all the other links I mentioned in the highlight reel this week, head on over to the show notes at otakuusamagazine.com. In the meantime, here comes 5 and Tune. And here it goes. I'm going to give you the top 3 Japanese music singles from this past week's Oricon ranking, the one single out of the whole thing that deserves your attention, and the one release, whether it was a single or an album, that you probably should have thrown money at this week. Speaking of which, I'll have links to everything I'll be playing in the show notes for your convenience. But right now, let's kick it off with this week's top 3, which starts with, oh god. Keeps coming back, but AKB48's Heavy Rotation is number 3 this week. May God have mercy on all our souls. And at number 2, hanging in there from last week, it's Chance no Jinban by AKB48. Number 1 this week, Toire no Kamisama by Kana Uemura. Side note, I do encourage you guys to look up the background of this song. It's really interesting when you sit down and read it. But in the meantime, the single out of this week's ranking that you should care about does not exist. Because I didn't think this was possible, folks, but I have slow news weeks and in those I can cope with. But we had a slow music week. The year is just starting out, so a lot of the big guns are being kind of saved up for later. But nothing of merit showed up on the ranking this week. It was so bad, I had to break format and try to go into the top 50 as opposed to the top 30, and there really wasn't anything worth mentioning at all. The closest thing is this song by the group Dream 5, the Japanese equivalent of the ABBA teens, in the sense of them being a remake of another group. Save this segment, I'm going to do something that I've wanted to do for a while on 5 and Tune. It's the first ever Friday East J&D Spotlight! Yeah. going to do here is try to give some really awesome Japanese indie acts some love in podcast form. And for this first emergency installment, I've got two acts for you to check out. The first of which being Backlift, a punk rock group that made their debut in August of last year with their mini album, The Memory Makes Me Smile. Here's a clip. Bye-bye. Second, Nin Toshite Shigure, which is a trio that's sort of on the borderlines of post-hardcore and progressive rock, but even that doesn't really put a finger on what they're all about. They were indie for a time, but they just recently became major going with Sony, and they put out an album in 2010. But what I'm recommending you guys check out is their first major single, which is Telecastic Fake Show. Thus concludes the Indie Spotlight. If you really liked it and you want it to become a regular thing, shoot me an email over at fridayace.ousa@gmail.com or leave a comment on this episode. But since we're winding down, here comes the watch list. And now, some interesting things from this past week that you might want to look into. We call it the watch list. The PD for Macross Triangle Frontier, the latest PSP game which now has a date sim built into it. OC Remix's free Armored Core tribute album, The Answer. The trailer for the live-action adaptation of the seinen manga Bad Boys. And no, that's not based off of the Will Smith Martin Lawrence movie, believe me, I checked. Voltron Blazing Sword Boxers, qualifying as the tangent of the week, the teaser for the forthcoming Hong Kong superhero comedy, Mr. and Mrs. Incredible. NHK's Minna no Uta segment teaching kids how to deal with long-distance relationships. Just for giggles, the first PV for Onejambara special. The latest tease for Kaizoku Sentai Gokaiser. The best trailer yet for Catherine. Japan Probe with the Great Bootleg Parade. And details on how you can be an extra in the forthcoming 40th anniversary Kamen Rider movie. That is, if you're going to be in Japan by January 24th. To see this and all the other bits of madness I've mentioned, check out the show notes at otakuusamagazine.com. But for now, that's it for this week's Friday Ace. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If you like what you hear and you want to send comments, questions, feedback, or even tips for stories during the week, drop me a line over at fridayace.ousa@gmail.com or leave a comment over at otakuusamagazine.com. And if you really, really, really like us, you can support us in one of three ways. One, follow otakuusa on Twitter over at twitter.com/otaku_USA. Two, profess your love for the mountaintop of any social media platform you can think of. Twitter, Facebook, even MySpace will do. And or three, buy the latest issue of Otaku USA wherever fine publications are sold. The new issue's out, FLCL is on the cover, go get it. But until the next, I'm Mike Dent, and forget Gurugamesh, this is the greatest convention commercial of all time.
Anime, cosplay, gaming, oh yeah. You can find them at the Tayo. We talking about Tayocon in Mesa. It's just like a mini Japan. Oh yeah, come geek with us. I said Tayocon in Mesa. It's just like a mini Japan. Hi, you heard me. Come geek. Masquerades, cute maids, hot guests. We got it. You want it, you'll find it. It's just like a mini Japan. Hi.
Yeah, I'm kind of sorry about that. See you next taste.
What's your name? It goes FFL.
Ace is published under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.